Turn our attention now to Matt Barnaby, NHL analyst, former NHLer. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, guys.
Tell us what you think about the Leafs game last night, and were they good? Were they bad? Their mistakes? What happened?
I'm just not impressed with this team lately. Even we can go back to, the bright spot in the last little bit has been the Tampa game, and I still thought Tampa was the much better team in that game, and I didn't learn anything about Toronto even after them beating the Tampa Bay Lightning. So it's been a struggle. Yesterday was a struggle. I'm with you. I don't like the goal that was scored, but I can't blame Anderson this year. He's been so good. He gave up a goal that I think he'd like to have back, and that's the third one. The team's struggling. It's been a struggle for a while, and they're going to have to figure out something. Something's going to have to be done with this team, and I'm talking about movement-wise as they come out of the All-Star break. If they're going to contend, there's just too many good teams, and there's other teams struggling, but there's something missing with this group right now, and it's an obvious thing. So they're going to have to do something. Kyle Dubas is going to have to do something. This is where he's going to earn his money in the near future.
It's strange, though, because everybody, as you know, favors their prospects, their young players more than another team does. Nick Kiprios reported Saturday night, they are, like, Kapanen is a non-starter for them in any trade, and I'm going, That's fine. If Kapanen is that, and you're not trading Nylander in season, and I'm sure that they aren't, that's not to say they won't in the summer, then I'm going, who's super attractive on the Leafs, right? Who's the girl you want to ask to the formal? And I'm going, Andreas Janssen, maybe? And that's almost it? Because if Janssen and Dermott aren't asks for other teams, I sure don't know who is. Teams aren't going to ask you for Connor Brown, and they're not going to ask you for Zach Hyman, and they wouldn't probably trade Hyman, and they're not going to ask you for Nikita Zaitsev. So there's not many asks here if you take Kapanen out of the mix, right?
I agree, and I'd be very hard-pressed to trade Kapanen as well. He's been so good this year, and he should be sending, by the way, Nylander gift baskets every day because he made him probably an extra $10 million because of the holdout. But, I love your laugh because, yes, that's exactly what we say when we look at trade deadlines is they don't want your crap. They don't want people that you don't want or that the value isn't there. I'm not trying to demean those guys, but the value on Brown and obviously Hyman, who they wouldn't trade anyways, or the value wouldn't be there for another team, even though you value them more. They look for young prospects like Kapanen. Those are the guys. Or draft picks, you're looking at your first rounders, which I'm sure that they would be willing to trade. But where the Leafs will be drafting isn't as attractive as where Ottawa would be drafting. So that first rounder is certainly diminished. If you're going to want a defenseman, you're going to have to give up something. And that's where they're going to have to decide as they go through. Are they comfortable with this group? I sure hope not, because you're not contending with the best teams in the Eastern Conference, let alone the National Hockey League, to win a Stanley Cup with this D-Corps for sure.
NHL analyst, former NHLer Matt Barnaby. Well, this D-Corps, and Greg did bring up Zaitsev, and it doesn't seem that he ever gets diminished in his role. And certainly not only is he bringing the team down when he's not playing up to what his contract says he should, and it's not his fault that he got that contract, and that's the number. Yeah. But that's what you're stuck with, and he's not helping the guy that he's out on the ice with at that time. What are they going to do with this? He never gets sad. He never gets pushed back in his minutes.
Yeah, his numbers are never changing. I think the only way that does change is obviously the coaching staff feels comfortable with him for some reason. That's on them. When you feel comfortable with a guy, and I've been on the coaching side, even though it was junior, you do feel comfortable with certain guys over others, and you start to play. But when it doesn't diminish, you make glaring mistakes, and you aren't playing up to a capability. I try to take contact numbers out of it because, it's just a number, just to where you are slotted, where you're playing, and your productivity should decide on where you play. And he never gets diminished. No how, no way. And I truly believe he's a big reason why I talk about this is the need for bringing in another defenseman is because of the play of like Zaitsev. You can't be playing those kind of minutes with the mistakes that he makes consistently and expect to win the Eastern Conference and contend for a Stanley Cup championship.
And there's so many. It becomes a real arms race. It's not like it used to be pre-cap where you just knew teams like, the Stars, the Rangers, the Avalanche, the Red Wings, they're all going to line up and be in this massive race to fire first and second round draft picks around. That's a rarity now. But the Leafs aren't the only, like, if someone says, oh, Jake Muzzin's available or Jay Bomeister's available, the Leafs are far from the only team because everybody seems to be in buy mode. Everybody wants to make the playoffs. We talked to last week with you about Panarin and Bobrovsky. There's huge pressure on a lot of American markets economically just to get those three or four playoff games in the first round as opposed to being gone.
That's a great, great point because then you look at what it used to be. It was the four or five teams that could contend for a Stanley Cup. Those were the only teams vying for the top guys available at the trade deadline. That's not the case anymore. You have teams like Columbus. You have teams that are buying and spending first rounders just to get in the playoffs and generate revenue for their owners and for their fan bases. You have franchises that, like, let's not say it, they won't be there now, but Florida Panthers, if they were in the running, that's a team that would be buying just to get into the playoffs because of the marketplace that they are and having to sell it to their fans. Columbus is the same thing. If they aren't selling, they're probably buying just to get into the playoffs and have a run. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs, but have that run, even though most people don't consider them Stanley Cup contenders. They believe for their fan base that it's a necessity to show them. And there's a lot of teams like that along the way. So it is a very much a different market than it used to be, where you're having not bottom dwellers, but not Stanley Cup contenders purchasing the same players at the deadline as the Stanley Cup contenders.
All right, look, we knew and know what the problem is as far as the Leafs is concerned. We know the area that needs help. It was always going to be that. It was last year. It's this year. It is still. But there's a problem we did not anticipate, and that's that this team would go this amount of time without being able to put the puck in the net. As Greg pointed out, Austin Matthews hasn't scored in a loss in a long time, but it's not just him. There's a whole bunch of guys that you expect to score that aren't doing it. How do you get out of something like this?
To me, they haven't generated, and yeah, the chances aren't the way that they used to be. And the difference between this team at the start of the year and now is the power play. We look at what they clicked at. I think the first seven games of the year, they were said like 9-for-17, and don't take that exact number, but they were roughly 50% at the start of the year, and it's been a struggle for a while. I still think that they need one unit and one unit only, you know, five best players that you predict to go on the ice and score a goal instead of separating two units, and they bounce around that this year. I think that's the best way. But guys go through times and struggle. We always know you're going to go through a time during the year where offense will be a struggle. Some guys you're always going to go through a little bit of a slump. That's why playing defense, and then coaches harp on it, that defense has to be your solid in any game that you play and your identity. And we saw that at the start of the year. They scored a plethora of goals. It was 5-6 a night, and they went 6-5 or 5-4, and you're looking at it, and it was entertaining. It was fun to watch, but it's not sustainable. You know, at some point, goals are going to dry up. You're not going to stay on fire like that all year. And when you're giving up 4 and 5 a night because of your defensive incapabilities, it's going to catch up to you. Now they're going through that time, last 10 games roughly, that they're struggling to score goals. Power play has not been great. And then your defense is not great and you haven't fixed those problems. So now you see exactly why you need to work on defense and have a good defense and have a good structure, because when it does dry up, you have to be able to win games 2-1, 3-2, 1-0, and they just aren't capable of doing that. And if you get to the playoffs and you don't know how to win 1-0, 2-1, or 3-2, you're not going to win a championship. You certainly aren't going to contend. That's the difference between the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Boston Bruins, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Winnipeg Jets. Those teams can win 6-5. But they can also win 1-0 or 2-1 when it comes down to it.
We have about a minute. Tell us if you're buying in on the New York Islanders. No John Tavares. Everything is up for grabs. They might be one of the bottom three or four teams. They're leading their division. Matthew Barzal's back up to about a point per game pace. Anders Lee, good season. Josh Bailey, Brock Nelson, good season. Eberle's scoring there. And for Sabres fans, how much angst is there? They watch Robin Leonard, who's awful. I know he said in the offseason, I had a lot of issues in Buffalo. Okay, that's fine. I can accept that. But the issues are behind him now, and he looks like a Vezina Trophy nominee. That's got to be killing Sabres. The Islanders have the best goals against in the league right now.
You know who it has to really kill is Tim Murray, the traded first rounder and brought him in, and he was horrible for Buffalo. He's been phenomenal. Thomas Greiss has been phenomenal. The whole team. Here's what I can say is, first of all, I'm blown out of my mind that they've done what they have. They're a fun team to watch. They play north-south. They play heavy. They buy into Barry Trotz, and I think he was the perfect guy to bring in with some clout, a guy that just came off a Stanley Cup that demands that you play a certain way, and that's no discredit to Doug Weight, who worked very hard as a coach, but he doesn't have the same,
impact,
as Barry Trotz. So very impressed. Love the way that they play. They play very heavy. I'm buying in. They still lack scoring, but Barzal's as good as you get for a young kid. He's found his game. He had trouble scoring early, but it's the defensive structure that they play with, the goaltending that they're getting, that gives them a chance to win. So they're a lot of fun to watch.
Matt Barnaby, always a pleasure. NHL analyst, former NHLer. Join us again soon.
Sounds good. Have a good one.